11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now, and Jesse and Tausch are at AmFam Field, where the Brewers have today a minor league game. Oh. Yeah, we talk a lot of Packers on this show. We say that team name a lot. No, the Brewers play today. They have a minor league game against the Reds to finish off their series.
Ooh.
But we've got a couple of major leaguers in the booth right now. When we say some of our favorite humans, this guy's on the list. We had Greg Gard yesterday, who's one of our favorite humans that joins the show. And now from Bally Sports, Wisconsin, former Brewers catcher, frequent friend of show, it's Bill Schroeder on Wilde and Tausch. Billy, good morning. How are you, buddy?
It's a lot of pressure. I mean, one of your
no, it's not
favorite humans.
Well, it's a long list. Tausch likes to point out there's a lot of people on the list.
He's said that to everybody that's ever come on the show. So I don't know if
that's not
true
at all. No, and I can tell you this: if Bill Schroeder was on the show, I would definitely not say that.
Yeah, to be confused with Bill Schroeder. Quite a bit around here, you know, Schroeder.
Yeah, it's funny because Tausch actually called you that earlier.
I'll be walking down the street, you know, downtown, and somebody will say, you know what, I watch you all the time. I've been watching you for 20-some years. Good to see you, Bill Schroeder. I said, apparently you don't watch enough because that's not my name.
Mm.
But that's a Wisconsin thing. I mean, anywhere else you go in the country, it's Schroeder. It's a Schroeder thing here. So
what's worse, you being called Bill Schroeder Bill Schroeder, or are you calling Tausch Matt on the broadcast a couple years ago?
It's
what would you say would be more?
It's probably about
are
the
they
same.
Equal?
It's fair. Yeah.
I don't know. You're going to have to ask Tausch.
Yeah,
for that.
I think it's fair.
I think I'd call Tausch anything he wants to be called because I don't want to be scrapping with him.
So, Bill, take us in last night because I think this is where your job is probably the most difficult when it's 18-4 and there's not like the intrigue of the. I mean, everybody wants to watch baseball, but. You got to tell stories, right? I mean, did you get into some yarn knitting last night?
Well, we started to get into that a little bit. You know, I had David Stearns on. He was talking about the team, and then Rowdy Tellez hit his grand slam. And you should see David when he's in the booth. And the Brewers do well. They hit a grand slam. He gets excited. I mean, it's great to see the Brewers general manager act like a fan every now and again. Now, he doesn't say anything on the air because nobody else would know that. But, you know, he was pretty fired up when Rowdy hit that grand slam. He almost hit one late in the game. Hit one off the fence. But, yeah, I think that, as you well know, I mean, you do, you know, radio, do Packers and Badgers. When you have a blowout game, it's a lot easier to do a blowout game when your team's winning. It's a lot more fun. I think people are more willing to hear all the stories that you tell over and over again. But, yeah, it was fun last night. The guys are really playing well. And I think that, you know, we have this rule in the booth. So innings 1, 2, 3, you kind of get everybody into it. You get everybody involved and you get all the statistics down. And middle innings, it's kind of like, you know, middle of the football game, second quarter, you guys can go off on your tangents and things like that. But then late in the game, you have to get into the nitty-gritty. But when you're up by 15 runs,
there's no nitty and there's no gritty.
There's no nitty, no gritty. So you're just trying to entertain. And we get shots of our director does a good job getting shots of fans. And we talk about that, but you got to be careful about that.
Yeah.
You can't get too crazy with that.
Have you gotten in any trouble with that? Like if there's Jesse is sitting in the stands and like Costanza in the Seinfeld episode, he's got hot fudge sundae dripping down his face, or you got the guy with the popcorn dribbling down. Do you have to kind of get, or do you let it rip?
I would have all kinds of stuff because that's me. I'm that guy. I'm the ice cream dripping down my chin. But you can't really, you know, pick on people, you know, these days.
It's a shame.
And, you know, I guess it's a good thing, a bad thing. But, you know, when you're trying to entertain the general public and you're trying to entertain people on television and radio, I guess you can't do it as much on radio. But, it's a shame that you have to be so guarded.
Yeah.
And for 28 years, I've been able to, you know, stay away from that kind of thing.
That's a win.
Yeah, that's a win. But there's so many lines that come through your mind, and
you kind of start thinking about it. It's probably smart. You have thinking about it. So you said Stearns joined you last night. What makes him so special? Because he has done he is a genius with what he's been able to do. Because we see, you know, I was asking you why Cincinnati stinks so bad. It's because they're cutting budget and they're a small market team. Well, the Brewers have. This is the glory era, really, when you start looking at the success postseason. Still a small market team, And David Stearns is at the helm of that.
Yeah, he does a terrific job. I mean, he has a whole litany of people in the baseball ops department that go through spreadsheets and computer programs and far beyond what my comprehension is. I don't have any idea, you know, what they do. But to pick up Andrew McCutchen, you know, late, nobody was picking him up. And, you know, he's 35 years old, and he has not slowed down a bit. He still can run. He still can turn on anybody's fastball. You know, Trevor Gott, I mean, he's been tremendous out of the bullpen, and nobody really, you know, gave him much of a chance. The Brewers picked up him up in November. But, you know, it all starts with Mark Adonisio. I mean, the culture here is fabulous. I mean, it's family oriented. It's a big business, but it's family oriented. Craig Counsell, you know, involves families as much as he can. And I know that that's an old cliche, and, you know, that only goes so far, and that's a great thing to talk about, you know, when you're winning and you've been to the postseason 4 years in a row. But I think it has a lot to do with it. These guys are having an awful lot of fun. But, you know, getting back to, you know, David Stearns, I mean, he's shrewd. He's smart. I mean, he knows when to make a deal. He very rarely, you know, makes a mistake in that regard. And, you know, teams like Cincinnati, teams like Pittsburgh, teams like Milwaukee, Minnesota, you can't really make mistakes with big contracts. And when you do, it hurts, and it hurts for a while. So all that has been very much minimized with David. And that's why a lot of teams out there are looking to, you know, take him, pull him away from Milwaukee. Yeah. Smart.
Rock, I've got one of the great things about when you come on is that you're such a great storyteller, even if you're trying to while away
you up
a
more
15.
No, but I like it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's why you come on. It's Jason.
Well, you
that's why
that.
He's the best in the business.
You know, I'm not on Twitter because I don't like to hear people talk bad about me, so I don't get on that. So, you know, keep it up, Jason.
Yeah, Jason. He's
don't worry about that. Just keep it coming.
All right. I want to be clear because the one thing I don't ever want to be is phony. If I don't like you, believe me, you know it. And also,
I can feel that right now pointed at me.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't say things I don't mean. And you're a great storyteller. You've told us the stories of catching Juan Nieves's no-hitter. You've told all kinds of great stories. But the one I'm curious about that I don't think we've ever asked about, you said when you sat down that you don't want to get on Tausch's bad side because you don't want to scrap with him.
Right.
How many bench well, at this point, yeah, I know. You're
easy mark at 63 years old, yeah.
Six, exactly. When you were younger though, were there any bench clearing brawls that you were in and where you do some scrapping, and was there some actual like physical altercation involved with that?
Yeah, well, scrapping meaning there was never any punches thrown. I mean, very rarely in any kind of, I don't know about football.
Yeah, you want to look like you're fighting.
Well, yeah, I think everybody gets involved. You know, I've always said that, you know, when you have an issue and the bullpens, I mean, in right field and left field, they start running in. By the time they come in, everything's kind of settled. Mm-hmm. My thing is just stand out there in center field, and if you want to start hooking people, just do it there. Why run all the way in there? Get all tired.
You know? Then you're going to be ready for someone to sucker punch.
And then walk back, and you know, two bullpens are got their arms around each other, and everything's good. But I've never actually been in an altercation. You know, I know we had some issues with the White Sox. We've had some issues with the A's when I was playing. But never any punches thrown. A lot of pushing and shoving. A lot of tackling. Guys scrumming.
Fake fight
on the ground.
A lot
of
fake
fight. I mean, I don't think any baseball player actually wants to fight.
No. Well, you don't want to bust your hand,
right?
You know,
it's one of those things where there's certain times in baseball, and it really, you know, the way the rules are in baseball today, I mean, you know, you throw at somebody, they're going to get warned. If you do it again, you get thrown out, you get suspended. So you don't see a lot of the things that, you know, happened back in the old days that would, you know, get guys fighting a little bit and pushing and shoving and things like that. But we did have a pretty good scrap back in, you know, when I was playing with the Brewers in Oakland. I think, you know, Dave Kingman got knocked down by Bob McClure, and he flew out, and he kind of rounded first and walked right by the mound, and there was a little pushing and shoving in that situation. But I wouldn't want to mess with Dave Kingman either. I mean, that's a...
Did you mess a lot with people trying to steal signs? I know the Brewers are not using the little technology on the deal, but did you ever mess and say, did you ever let a guy know what was coming?
No. What's coming? What pitch was
coming?
Yeah,
like just to mess with him.
No. I would never do that. Although, you know, I did, you know, Rob Deere was a good buddy of mine. I was with the Angels at the time. And, you know, we had a 7-0 lead at County Stadium when I was with the Angels. It was the game before the All-Star break. And We had a 7-0 lead, and I'm thinking this game's over. I hit a home run off of Bill Krueger, and all of a sudden, Bert Blyleven's on the mound. He's pitching for the Angels. I'm catching, and they put up 20 unanswered runs, the Brewers.
Hmm.
So at the end of the game, long story short, bottom of the 8th inning, Donnie Hill is a utility infielder. He was on the mound. He was finishing up the game. And Rob Deere had struck out, I think, already 3 times or 4 times. It's always one guy, and that's usually me. You know, in these big run-scoring things.
You don't want to be that guy that makes two, three outs in an inning.
Yeah, right. I mean, I've made 2 outs in an inning, I think, but never three. But you don't want, there's always the one guy that's got the offer. You know, when you've, you're hanging, you know, 15, 16 runs on the board. But Rob Deere comes up. He's literally dragging his bat up to the plate. Game's long over. And he comes up to me, and I'm catching him. I'm looking at him, and he says, "Rock, if this guy strikes me out, I'm going to die." 3 pitches. He struck out. And I still didn't tell him what was coming because, you know, you don't have to tell a guy what's coming when a position player is on the mound. So, no, I never told a guy what was coming. No.
You mentioned the rules and what results in maybe the benches clearing. One of my pet peeves about your beautiful game are the unwritten rules. As an old school player, where do you stand on where unwritten rules have been in the past and where they are now?
Well, if you have a big lead like the Brewers did yesterday, you know, they had a 18-3 lead, I think it was, late in the game. And, you know, there's certain rules of thumb that you live by in, you know, back in the old days. And you don't swing at 3-0 pitches, you don't bunt for base hits, and you don't steal. Okay, those are the 3 things that you just don't do. I don't know what that is, Tausch, in football. You got a big lead, I guess.
Yeah, run the ball, get out of there.
Yeah, run the ball. Don't be throwing bombs and don't no onside kicks and things like that. But, you know, I think the game has changed so much because, you know, back, you know, in the 80s, you know, and 90s, back in the 70s, you never saw teams come back from, you know, 7-8-run deficits. Although it's rare, but it does happen. So I guess, you know, the unwritten rules, I mean, are kind of gray area because what is the dividing point? Is it a 10-run lead? Is it a 7-run
right.
lead? I don't know. It all depends on what, you know, the manager and, you know, the opposing manager can put up with. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of gray area. I think that, you know, bench-clearing brawls would start basically when one team thought another team was showing their team up, like, you know, way guys prance around the bases and stuff like that. But everybody does that these days. And guys are, you know, encouraged to use their originality and bring out their personalities in different ways. So I think that to go to a ball game, and I know, Tausch, you can probably speak to this in the football sense, is that, you know, as an old school guy, you sit and watch a game and you expect players and the game to be played and people to act like you did back in the 70s and 80s, you're going to end up being upset just about
those days
every
are
night.
Over.
And so, you know what? You got to decide. You know, I'm not going to fall on that sword. If our team is okay with the behavior of another team and vice versa, I'm okay with it as well.
Yeah, and we do it too.
Right.
You know, there's bat flipping. I think it's probably been good. Before we let you go, Rock, Yelich, everybody wants to know about Yelich. He's, you know, it feels like he's hitting the ball better.
Mm-hmm.
How do you assess his play so far through the opening month?
Well, he's healthy again. I think, you know, he had the knee issue in 19 at the end of the season, and I think he had some back problems for a couple of years. But I think he came into spring training. He's feeling as good as he has in a long time. He's making really good contact. I think that, you know, it's a lot to ask of a guy to have the success that he had back in 18 and 19. I mean, that's historic.
Yeah.
You know, the way he was swinging the bat and the way he would come up with big hits. You can't expect that from a guy throughout his career. I think he's much better. I think he's feeling good. He's running the bases. I love watching him run the bases. He scored from first to home yesterday. And I don't even watch the baseball. I just like watching Yelich run around the bases. I mean, hell, he cuts the bags. But Yelich's going to have a good season. I think this is going to be a good offense. Andrew McCutchen has been another guy who's making good, hard contact, particularly on this homestand, but hasn't had a lot of success. I mean, he's hitting rockets right at guys, although he had 4 hits yesterday. So, and he's getting today off. So for his trouble, 4 hits yesterday, he gets today off.
That's
so
nice.
Yeah. Everybody needs time off. But, again, I think that Yelich is going to have a good year this year.
talking with Bill Schroeder, who never did the Jeffrey Hammonds one flap down rounding the bases on his 61 career home runs. Rock, 61? One last question
that's
for
a,
me.
That's a lot more. You know, I think people know. I don't think people know that you had 60. That's a lot of dongs.
I tied Roger Maris. By the way, that was Jeffrey Leonard, the Hackman. Jeffrey Leonard.
He's having the wing down. Yeah,
one flap down, yeah. Good
All
guy.
Right, Rock, one last thing for me so we can let you go and get ready for work. You mentioned your time with the Angels. You were traded to them in 88. We were talking earlier about Moneyball and about Brian Gutekunst as Packers GM and how GMs have had to change, and you actually have to, you know, maybe talk to your players and have face time with them and not just view them as commodities. You have to have relationships. When you got traded, was it as simple as, here's the number for the traveling secretary, he'll take care of you in California? How did that work?
I heard it on the radio. I was driving around. I think it was Pheasant Hunt.
What?
I was coming back from Fond du Lac, and on the news, I was listening to,
620 WTMJ.
Radio, 620 WTMJ. That's always on my station, on my truck. But I heard via radio. So I guess I called home and said, "Hey, start packing. We're going to be heading to California. As long as I make the team, you're going to have to wait. Yeah, we'll see." But those 2 years in Anaheim, we had some really good teams. That was, before Wild Card. We had some terrific players. I mean, Wally Joyner and Brian Downing. We had Jim Abbott, Finley, those kind of guys. Lance Parrish. It was a great team, but never made the postseason. We would have probably. That was when the Oakland A's are winning 100 games every single year. Those 2 years, but that was a good experience. But it's good to be back. I never thought about leaving the state of Wisconsin because I love it here.
Best climate,
Rock.
I'm telling you. Other than the spring,
April.
Kind of wet, isn't
it? Yeah, it's been a little like the winter. You kind of embrace, and you're probably down south in the wintertime anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
you got the best of both worlds.
By the way, I'm looking forward to seeing you at fantasy camp.
We'll be there. I'm gonna. And Jesse wants to come. He wants to do announcing fantasy camp. Which,
is that right?
Yeah, he. I don't know if you know this. He's hoping that you sprain an ankle or hit something so that he can fill in for you today. That's really why he wanted you on the show.
Right.
Careful. He's more of a radio guy.
On the air today, he wants to fill
in? Yeah, he really wants to take your job.
Don't have him ask me again because I'll head home. So we got a 10-day road trip coming up. By the way, I grew up in New Jersey, and I was always a Giants fan. I hear the Giants and the Packers are playing over
London,
right?
Jolly old London,
That's going to be fun.
We're trying to figure out a way to get over there to do it because Jason has not been overseas, and it'll be fun. The Giants are going to stink,
that's
not always the case, but... we're hopefully going to be able to get over there and do it. It'll be a lot of fun. I think Packer fans are obviously incredibly excited, even though missing a home game to get overseas.
Right, but see if you
Rock, you want to go with us?
To get me on that.
We'll see.
We'll
try to figure something out.
We'll see what we can do.
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
There you go.
Although, if you're only going to invite,
thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate.
Yeah, if you're only going to invite Tausch to fantasy camp and not me, I'm not sure what we can do for you for the London trip. But that's
you're kind of busy in January, aren't you?
He tries to. Yeah. Well,
you are too.
He hopes to be. Yeah. Right. That's the plan.
Right.
So
playoffs, right?
Well, I'd be happy to not be invited.
We sell out.
What is that? If people want to sign up, what do they do? Or is it already sold out?
We're sold out. We're sold out from last year. I mean, so, we had to postpone fantasy camp last year. So everybody that signed up, we had 105 people signed up.
Could we ever do a fantasy camp here?
We used to do that.
That would be fun, like a two-dayer?
We used to do that.
Let's do that.
Yep, why don't you...
We'll organize it. Let's get that thing humming. You don't think people want to come here? They get to listen to Stearns? This actually could be a really good business. We'll talk off air.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out a way to get money on that.
Yeah, we will.
We're all sold out. But hey, Tausch, we'd love to have you at fantasy camp.
There's always a spot for him. He was a big, big hit at fantasy camp a couple of years ago. So,
there you go, Jason.
Yeah.
Yep, that's good to know. That is our friend Bill Schroeder.
Look at him.
I'm totally bitter. Yes, I am.
If you figure out a way to get me to London for that game, I'll find a way to get you to
fantasy. There you go,
camp.
Jason. Yeah.
All right, that's the deal.
Little tit for tat.
All right, that'll allow you to stay in the one of our favorite humans camp while we're at it. That's it for
the Packers. I am a Packers fan, so yeah. Right.
Bill Schrader is not joining us. Bill Schroeder is done with us.
Even.
Thanks.
Even.
Thanks for making time for us. Have
right,
a good
guys.
Day.
Great. Have a good time. Thanks for having me. Anytime you want me on, I'd love to come on.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow at about 11:45. That is Bill Schroeder from the Bally Sports Wisconsin. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.